We're going to look in Exodus chapter 6 this morning. How secure are we? I know that religion has come along and allowed us to create a God and create a relationship with God and create a Jesus that may not exist. And when we attach ourselves to a fable or a fallacy and we live our life according to that falseness that we've been taught, it may lead to eternal consequences. God gave us a free gift. Not like the Wendy's where you have to pay a dollar for it and then get free. How they do that's still mind-boggling to me. I just can't get that out of my head. How they say I get a free Frosties, but I paid a dollar for them. I don't get that. When God says his gift is free, it means that we don't merit that gift. And he gave his son so that we would be reconciled back to a holy God. Period. I mean, we can't merit it. We can't do anything in the flesh to please God. And so he did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. But just because he did that doesn't take away the rest of the scriptures that say that you are responsible, and it comes with an incredible amount of responsibility to be that child of God. He saved us as a free gift, but we are sustained by what we do and how we live and what we teach and what we preach. There's a lot of ifs. I've been wanting to do this, and God has not allowed it until now, but we're going to look at the ifs of God, because there's an incredible amount of ifs that go along with this salvation that we have. There's a lot of strings attached. This salvation was merited to humanity based on nothing more than God's love, but the relationship takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort to have the relationship. Yeah, you can be born of God, but again, what happens after that? What happens after you have this new nature? What happens after you are this new creature? So I want us to look, and we're going to start in the very beginning. We're going to look in Exodus, where God reveals himself to a nation of Israel, okay, that had been in captivity for 20 years, through Pharaoh. The Pharaoh that showed Joseph all this mercy had long passed, and the Israelites had grown so abundant in number that the new Pharaoh was afraid of this people, and so he made them into slaves. And in 400 years, they were in slavery. They took on a lot of the ideologies of the Egyptians. They began to worship a lot of the false gods and things. And so God now remembered his covenant that he had made with Abraham and Jacob and Isaac. And this is kind of where we pick up. Chapter 6. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For under compulsion he will let them go, and under compulsion he will drive them out of his land." God spoke further to Moses, said to him, "I am the Lord." This is actually one of the first times that God said and identified himself as Lord. Previously, when he had talked to Jacob and Isaac and Abraham, he said, "I am God." This is kind of the introduction, what it means that God takes on, he is all sovereign, he is God, he has authority over everything, but now he's making that transition to be Lord. He is also Lord God, just like Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have Jesus Christ without him being your Lord, which when someone is your Lord, then he tells you what to do. He tells you how to live. So again, you can't live a life that you want to live. You have to live it under the direction of that Lord. So this is the introduction of that. My name, Lord, I will make myself known to them. He says in verse, go back in verse 3, he says, "And I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I did not make myself known to them." So again, just reiterating, backing up what I just said. So he says in verse 4, "I will establish my covenant with them. to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they sojourned. Furthermore, I have heard the groanings of the sons of Israel because of the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out of the under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage, and I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. So he's going to deliver them, but he's going to deliver them as Lord. He didn't give them a freedom to live how they want to live. He gave them a freedom to be under his lordship. Much like what happens with us, with our sin burden. Sin is master over us, and God frees us from that master so that we can be betrothed to another, and that is Lord Jesus, who is Lord of our lives, so that we can honor and serve God in the manner that God says we need to serve him. We don't talk a lot about lordship. We don't talk a lot about the responsibility that comes with being born again. See, religion says just go on mission trips and go do this and do that. But the lordship that he's talking about, he's telling you about your character, and that your character is what dictates how you live, because how you live will never dictate your character. Okay? It cannot make and create you into this new being that he says that we have to become. In verse 7, then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God. This is not an option for these people. This God who created all things, who owns all things, comes down and selects this nation of Israel and says, I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people. He didn't get to make a choice. Okay, we get to make a lot of choices in life, don't we? You made a choice of what you're going to wear today. You made a choice of how you would come in here to worship. You made a choice, what you're going to eat for lunch. You make choices all day long. You don't get to choose that there's a God in heaven that created all of us. That doesn't go. We don't get a choice on that, okay? And there's only two choices at the end of life, and that is either you spend eternity with him or you spend eternal damnation in the second death. So our choices get narrowed as we live in life, and we need to stop and think about this for a bit and not allow religion to dictate how we live and what we do, but allow the relationship and our character to dictate how we are presented to other people. But you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to you, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession, again, reminding them, I am the Lord, okay? He can't be just God, okay? He can't be just Jesus. He has to be Lord. Let's look at Exodus 15, 22 through 26. It says, and Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not find drink. They could not drink the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and regulations, and there he tested them. So again, as Lord, he has that right and that privilege and that authority to put statutes and regulations upon this people, just like he does to us today. Even though we have forgot all of those statutes and all those regulations, God still has that right and authority to do that. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, then I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. Did y'all get that? He wrote this so that we could understand biblical principles. diseases that we see today and all the infirmities of man are coming because of sin and because we have not heeded the Lord God. There's not one person in this nation or in this room or in a church or in this world can say that we have heeded God's commandments in our life, in our society. Don't ask God to heal you if you're not willing to heed his commandments and his statutes and call him God and present him as holy. Don't expect anything from God. We have fooled ourselves with religion. Oh, pray for me and pray for this and pray for that. And there's nothing wrong with bringing our prayers to him, but when we have annihilated and turned our backs on Almighty God and who he is, and don't show him the respect and the reverence of the creator of this world, expect nothing from God. If you do it, I won't put these diseases on you. You saw what I did to the Egyptians. Is that what you want? Guess what? We didn't learn anything. We didn't learn anything from the history of how God has dealt with the nation of Israel. We've not taken the biblical principles and we've not put them in the forefront of our lives. And we wonder why we're sick and unhealthy and undone. Because there's a great big old if here. Just because you're my people doesn't mean it's going to go well with you. There's a responsibility to keep God's commandments. Let's look at Exodus 19, 4 through 6, because we're not going to make a theology out of one verse, okay? We're going to look at the theme of all the scriptures. Exodus 19, 4 through 6. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. So what do they have to do to get this blessing from God? Obey his commandments and his voice. Just because you are God's people doesn't mean you get the blessings of God. Okay? I think we've allowed religion to tell us, oh, we go to church. Oh, we read our Bible. Oh, we preach a sermon. Oh, we teach a Sunday school class. Oh, we go on a mission trip. God has to bless us. You can do all of those things, but you're not going to get the blessings of God apart from keeping his commandments. Your life has to be directed by his commandments. And I'll back that up in the New Testament later on as we are able to look into this. That this is not just an Old Testament message, but it's for all times. He says, and you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. What makes them holy? Because they speak the name of God? No, it's because God has called them holy. You're not holy till God calls you holy. Okay? We somehow think that our acts makes us holy, but we're holy because the Spirit of God lives within us, and he is what makes us holy. Is his presence is what makes us holy. Just as Moses stood on that ground many times, and all of a sudden this bush started burning, and God said, take off your sandals, for you're on holy ground. Well, why was the ground holy? Because of the presence of God. Why, when we come in here to worship, is this a holy sanctuary? Because where two or more are gathered in his name, he says he'd be present. It's his presence that makes it. It's not the songs we sing that make it holy. It's his presence that makes it holy. And I think we forget that. But he's going to make them a holy nation. But they had to do and follow his commandments and obey his voice. Leviticus 5:17. I want to throw this in. See, we have so many excuses nowadays of why we are inept in keeping God's commandments. You know, we always want to use excuses. Well, I just didn't know. I didn't know that was in the Bible. Well, that's because you didn't read it. I didn't know that was in the Holy Scriptures. That's because you don't practice it. Isn't it amazing that people call themselves children of God and there are passages of Scriptures they've never even know are in the Bible? How can that be? How can you say you're a child of God and you don't know what's in Scripture? Mind-boggling to me. I think it's one of those if things, too. You're probably not a child of God if you're not in the Word of God. Now, if a person sins and does any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done, though he is unaware, still he is guilty and shall bear his punishment. That may be up there in one of the top 10 most single, most important verses in Scripture. Do you realize that? Just because you're unaware doesn't mean you're not guilty. And doesn't mean you won't bear the punishment just because you don't know. See, when God sent his son as a warning to say, hey, look, you're not keeping my commandment, and you can't keep my commandments. The first covenant failed. I wrote it so that you would fail, so that the flesh would come to the end of itself, so that you would bow to a holy God in fear, because the condemnation and the damnation that faces you because of God condemning us. And you can't do anything about it. Nothing in the flesh can be done to please God, so this condemnation is sure. Whether you're aware of it or not, whether you know it or not, whether you accept it or not, one of the most important verses in here, you're not acquitted. God says in Romans that every man knows no one is without an excuse. He took all the excuses of humanity away. Pretty important verse. We need to take from the truths of God, and we better find out what God wants. We better find out what God says. We better find out how God wants us to live. Because you're not going to be without excuse. Leviticus 26:1-4. You shall make yourselves idols. We talked about last week about the idols. It comes in several forms. Sports heroes, singers, movie stars, people of all walks of life. Huh? Anything that's put before God is an idol. Do you understand that? Anything that you obey, anything that entangles you is an idol, because you are bowing down to that and you are serving that, and you're not free because you're not serving Almighty God. And you're only free to serve Him, not do what you please. You shall not make for yourselves idols, nor shall you set up for yourselves an image of a sacred pillar, nor shall you place a figured stone in your land or bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. Take these crosses and throw them away off of your necks. That cross you wear around your necks doesn't mean anything. This is what he's talking about. People grab these things and they hold sacred these crosses. This cross is not for jewelry. That cross was put the Son of Almighty God on it so he could become sin on your behalf, so that you could become the righteousness of God. And that's not to be celebrated in the form and fashion of jewelry or tattoos. You shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. These are not suggestions for a better life. This is not motivational speaking. I'm telling you what you're going to do. And I have the power to add all the plagues of Egypt onto you if I want to, if you don't obey me. We see, we forget this aspect about God, don't we? Because he showed us so great a mercy. It's just like, you know, if you've got a boss that's your friend, what do? You take advantage of that boss and you don't do your job, do you? Oh, he's my buddy. I can come in late. I can not do my job because he's my buddy. And see, when we make God our buddy, we make Jesus our buddy. See, what we want to do is take advantage of him, and we think that his scriptures don't have any merit anymore. You've been lied to. You've been deceived. If you walk in my statutes, if you walk in my statute and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, then I shall give you rains in their seasons, so that the land will yield its produce and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. I'm not going to just give it to you. Huh? He's not that kind of God that I'm just going to give it to you. No, they had to obey him. Somehow we've lost that in our world, haven't we? We've somehow lost it. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, "What do the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean, which the Lord our God commanded you?" So again, showing us that we have a responsibility to tell the younger generation about the trueness of God, not this God that doesn't exist, that just takes everybody to heaven. There's not a God that takes everybody to heaven. There's a God that provided a way for man to be related back to him, to become his righteousness. Heaven happens to be where God is. And in his presence is heaven. It's eternal life. Then you shall say to your son, "We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us from Egypt with a mighty hand. Moreover, the Lord showed great and distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. He brought us out of there in order to bring us in to give us the land which he had sworn to our fathers. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes." It wasn't an option. God's word is not an option. Jesus Christ is not an option. You might make it your choice, but it's not an option. This is how God chose to speak to us in the later days. It's how God chose to bring redemption back to mankind. It's how God chose to make us holy. It might be your choice, but hear me again. It's not an option. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God. Huh? Where's that at today? When we have presidents and governors to stand up and say words that are contrary and lead people contrary to God's holy word, and there's no fear in doing that. We have pastors that stand up in the pulpit that have no fear that they are to deliver God's word in truth without excuse. To fear the Lord our God. Why? For our good, always, and for our survival as it is today. You want to survive and persevere in this world? You better get serious about that relationship you think you have with God. You have a relationship if you've been born again. You have a relationship with God if His Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. You love God if you keep His commandments. That's just some New Testament proof that the Old Testament is just as valid as the New Testament. But if you want to survive in this world that we live in today, you better take heed and find out what God's commandments are. And the greatest is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. That means everything else doesn't matter. Says it will be righteousness. It will be righteousness for us. If we are careful to observe all His commandments before the Lord our God, just as He commanded it. Not done. Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. He went down and talked about all these blessings He's going to give Israel. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. 2 Chronicles 7, began in verse 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord, and the king's palace was successfully completed, and all that he had planned on doing in the house of the Lord and his palace. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. So even though Solomon built the house, unless God chose it for a place of sacrifice, it wouldn't have been the place of sacrifice. It's only the place of sacrifice because God chose it. Okay? It wasn't anything that Solomon did to make this a special place. He just obeyed the commandments of God in building this, and then God said, I'll make this a place of sacrifice. But he said, if I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Okay, why does he do that? See, what scares me and what makes me afraid is, what is God going to have to do to get your attention, to get my attention, to get our president's attention, to get this world's attention? What if I bring you to your knees and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways? See, we like to just, oh, we'll seek God, we'll seek His face, but we don't like this last part. We don't like this last part. You got to turn from your wicked ways. You got to turn from your wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. See, we think God just hears every time we get on our little knees and pray, that, oh, God's just there waiting to hear. There are so many conditions. There are so many ifs to God hearing you. But the religious world tells you, just pray to God and He'll hear you. I got proof right here that that does not happen. He said they had to turn from their wicked ways, and then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. See, we need a president that stands up and reads that passage of Scripture and says America needs to be healed. We need governors that stand up in states and said, we need God to heal our land. We are a wicked nation. We are a wicked people. We have forsaken God's commandments. But we're not going to have that. So we are going to suffer the consequences of what God will cause upon our lives personally and individually and as a country and as a world. Look at Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. If, I got to say it three times because it's so small, but very powerful word. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word. In other words, you keep the Sabbath day holy. It's not your day. It's not another day to go out and open up your business and make more money. There's got to be a time of holiness and worship and rest. The reason it's holy is because God said it was holy. It wasn't for you to do what you want to do on this day. This is not a day you get to just do what you want to do. It's not another day of the weekend. It has responsibility. And you need to come in here prepared to worship Almighty God. Not lackadaisically. He's not your big buddy in the sky waiting to get a big hug from you. It's a lot more serious, folks. It's about where you spend eternity. It's about a battle over your souls. He said, then you will take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And finish up, Malachi chapter 2, beginning verse 1. And now this commandment is for you, O priests. He now even, not only for the people, but he picked a specific commandment for those who are his spokesmen. Did you know that the pastors and the overseers of a church are supposed to be the spokesmen for Almighty God? We're just to tell you what God says. We're not to explain it. Don't have to explain it. The scripture explains itself. We're supposed to tell you what it says. You know why we need a preacher? Because people are not going to pick up the Word of God and read it. They like devotions. You know why people like the little devotional books? Because it doesn't talk about any of this stuff. It's motivational to make you feel good about who you are when you may not be who you need to be. So you got to read God's word to understand who you are, because it's that light that shines into our darkness that reveals who we are. And if we don't deal with who we are and we don't begin to walk in the way that we're going to walk, the ifs of God will come and haunt us. And now this commandment is for you, O priest, if you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart, to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. And indeed, I have cursed them already because you are not taking it to heart. How many of you all came in this morning taking this worship service to heart? See, what happens is we get into this realm of we just doing the same old thing. And expect different circumstances, and expect something different. Huh? When you just come here and you're just a spectator. There are people that don't even show up for worship. They'll come for any other reason, but they won't come for worship. Worship is the key and the epitome of who we are. And if what you're teaching in Sunday school doesn't lead your members to come to worship, and if your worship doesn't make you want to go and learn more about God, then there's a problem in your life. I'm trying to explain to you there's a problem you have. I'm your pastor. I'm responsible for telling you you have a problem when Sunday school means nothing to you. When your church gathers together to learn together and you could care less. We have a problem in this nation and in our churches today because we've not obeyed the ifs of God. Behold, I'm going to rebuke your offspring. Your children are going to be affected. And I will spread refuse on your face. You don't think God's not nasty sometimes in his word? He's going to take refuse. You know what refuse is? Do I need to spell it out for you, or you got this? You know what refuse is? That stuff that comes out after you take pictures on Facebook of all your beautiful food. It's that stuff that comes out in the commode and you flush it down. That's gross. He's going to take that and spread it on your face. The refuse of your feast, you will be taken away with it. It was flushed down the toilet. He said, I'm done with you because you're not listening to me. Then you will know that I have sent this commandment to you that my covenant may continue with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant is with him, was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him as an object of reverence. So he revered me and stood in awe of my name. I dare to say there's very many of us that stand in awe of God's name today. God has not veered from what he wrote here. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. That is the position of a pastor. That is specific to turn you from your iniquity. And not let you feel so complacent about the life that you have and the complacency that you have with God in your life that if you're not coming prepared to worship, that is a grave sin in your life. And you will suffer that consequences, and your children will suffer that consequences, and some of you are already reaping that because no pastor stood up and told you this, and your kids now are reaping the consequences of a pastor not telling you, you better get serious about this. And letting your kids go to band practices and bowling and soccer and all that garbage. Instead of being here worshiping Almighty God in awe of his holy name because he created us in his own image. For the lips of the priest should preserve knowledge and men should seek instruction. For he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by the instructions. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Basically, the biblical principle here. We have taken the word of God. We've changed it to what we want to do. We've made it pleasing to our ears. We're pleasing men, and we're not pleasing God. So I have made you despised and abased before all the people, just as you're not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in instruction. There are deacons that somehow become powerhouses in some churches, and they make decisions on what the pastor can teach and what the pastor can preach, and then they decide if it's time for the preacher to go. Only God has a right to put a pastor in place and remove him, not a church body. We better start listening to God's word, folks. I'm telling you, you are on the brink of disaster, and so is this world. If you don't take to heart the word of Almighty God and take it seriously and begin to practice the commandments of Almighty God.